Don't you hate it when intrusive thoughts beat you up? I've been battling doubt lately, and so sure enough, I started having intrusive, unwelcome thoughts about what a bad person I was for doubting a good God. The enemy of our souls is super crafty and entirely evil. And so he came after me with the words in James about being double-minded and unstable for having doubts. Thankfully, God reminded me of the context for those troubling verses. And that's what we're going to talk about today. No matter how fiercely uncertainties upend me, my faith is an anchor in a sea of doubt. When the apostles cried out to Jesus to increase their faith, his response was basically to say that it didn't take much. He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." I talked about the difference between doubt and unbelief last time, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you missed it. I showed from Scripture that you can be a follower of Jesus and still have doubts. If you're ready to uproot every doubt with a mustard seed of faith, then stay with me as we look into who James was actually calling double-minded and unstable. Welcome to Believe and Speak. I'm Shauna Marie Bryant, and I am honored to greet you today. If you're new, I'm so glad you decided to tune in. I'm here to encourage you and build your faith in God. I believe in the power of the tongue. The Bible says that it has the power of life and death, and if we believe and speak truth from the Bible, we believe and speak life. That's why I always read from the Bible, and then I give you a declaration drawn from the verses. Repeating the declaration with me helps empower your tongue with truth. I want you to listen closely to the troubling verses from James. It's chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and I'll read them now from the New International Version. "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Before I give you today's declaration, I want to drive home the fact that doubt is disbelief, not unbelief. Today's declaration is meant to cancel the negative effects of any intrusive thoughts that condemn you for your disbelief. And it's this: my faith is an anchor in a sea of doubt. Saying that is like saying, I may have doubts, but God has promised that my faith is powerful, even if it's small. If that phrase weren't so long, I'd make that the declaration, but I've shortened the concept down to this: my faith is an anchor in a sea of doubt. Will you believe and speak that with me now? My faith is an anchor in a sea of doubt. I am a strong believer in the power of the word but. Years ago, I learned that word but profoundly minimizes the phrase preceding it. The psychologist who taught me this lesson drove his point home with a few heart-stopping examples. He said, "I think you have beautiful eyes, but your smile is pretty too." Then he said, "From what I know about you, you are a very kind person, but you are generous and compassionate too. I promise you, I held my breath with both buts. I didn't receive the kind words he said at first because I was getting ready for the icky words that I expected to hear next." James 1:6 begins this way: "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt." I don't think James had any idea how the enemy of our souls would use the but between verses 5 and 6 to berate me about my doubts. Let me make this perfectly clear. The Bible was not written to berate people. People may try to beat you over the head with scripture, but that was never God's idea. The word but between James 1:5 and James 1:6 effectively disconnected the two verses in my head, even though they were meant as a whole. Verse 5 sets us up for exactly who James was calling double-minded and unstable. It says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." This is such a wonderful promise that I did a Believe and Speak episode on James 1:5. My main point in that message was, don't be ashamed to ask God for wisdom. There's nothing to be ashamed of when you don't know what to do. God is not going to fault you for lacking wisdom. When you come to Him and you say, "Give me wisdom, God," please don't shy away. He will give it generously. The double-mindedness and instability that James was referring to was directed specifically at those who asked God for wisdom in disbelief. Now, I'm going to share how God opened my eyes to the disconnect that I had allowed because of the but between James 1:5 and 6. But first, I want to invite you to tap or click the like button. Also, please be sure to share this message with a friend and subscribe if you haven't already. And don't forget that notification bell. Thank you so much. When it comes to believing God before you ask Him for something like wisdom, I'm reminded of Hebrews 11:6, which says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." My friend, when you consider the whole counsel of God's Word, when you put Hebrews 11:6 next to James 1:6, it's clear that the double-minded, unstable person isn't just anyone who doubts. It's the one who comes to God and asks for wisdom without believing that God will give it generously. You can ask for wisdom. By all means, ask. But when you do, believe God will give you wisdom. Last week, I allowed intrusive thoughts to condemn me. A clever attack from the enemy beat me up with the words taken completely out of context. I had separated the part in James 1:5 about asking for wisdom from the part in James 1:6 about doubting God's generosity as the source of that wisdom. And I was sucked into believing Satan's twisted lie, "You should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You are double-minded and unstable in all you do." What a lie. I cried out to God and I said, "Help me not be afraid. Help me not doubt you. Help me to trust you. Help me to know what to do." And immediately, three things popped into my mind to counter Satan's lie with Bible-based truth. Jesus had compassion on Peter when fear made him doubt. I talked about that last time. God calls the one who perseveres under trial blessed, not double-minded. Now, I'm going to talk about that next time. The unstable ones doubt they will receive wisdom when they ask for it, which, of course, I talked about this time. Don't be ashamed to ask God for wisdom. And when you do, don't doubt His promise to give generously. Instead, believe God will give you wisdom. When intrusive thoughts condemn you, remember to silence Satan's twisted lies with Bible-based truth. Waves of doubt will assail you at times, but stand firm in the knowledge that God loves you and has compassion on you when you're doubting. He loves you, my friend. Believe and Speak our declaration with me once more. My faith is an anchor in a sea of doubt. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love that is unfailing, for your grace that abounds more and more the more we need it. And Lord, that you are compassionate. God, again, you don't turn away from us when we doubt you. You embrace us and you give us even more reasons to trust you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that even now. Lord, if we have been listening to the lies of the enemy, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that those lies would be silenced and that we would only hear the truth of your word, your loving voice that draws us near. You always do. Even if we've done something wrong, the scripture tells us that it's your kindness that draws us to repentance, not condemnation. Never, not from you. You love us. You love us enough to send your own son to die for us. And so, Father God, I pray that those of us who are struggling with doubts would know the truth about who is unstable, who is double-minded. And as long as we keep our faith anchored in you, as long as we know that you are who you say you are, and eventually, though we may have to persevere through some trials and some doubts and some questions, be in that raging sea, so to speak, Lord, that you will hold us through it. You will calm our fears, even as Jesus calmed the storm that day. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us with our doubts. Help us, Lord, to trust you more, again, because you are so worthy of our trust. And we thank you and we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Doubt is a powerful thing, but like I said in my prayer, my friend, it won't make God turn away from you. So don't allow it to make you turn away from God. If you'd like to go deeper into working through canceling the negative effects of believing any of Satan's twisted lies, then I invite you to journey with me through my book, Longing to Belong, Discovering the Joy of Acceptance. It is a great book to help you know what is true and what isn't. And I'm going to share a link for you. I always enjoy hearing from you, and I hope you'll leave a comment, especially if you've been struggling with doubt, so that I can be sure and pray for you. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and click or tap the bell for notifications. It means so much to me when you do that. Thank you again for joining me. And if you'd like to hang out a little longer, you might enjoy watching a video I did that focuses on James 1:5. And why we shouldn't be ashamed to ask God for wisdom. Just click the watch next on your right. Declare truth, my friend. Your tongue has power. Use it for good.